This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I just came for the bagels, but I'm noticing here there are boxes to check. Are we competing? Are there cash prizes?
No, yes, no,
yes,
no.
We're competing for money.
No, there is no prize.
I just want to know
this.
Who these members are.
By the way, the bagel is the prize, so congratulations. Welcome, everybody, to another Snark Monkey edition, the Oscars reactions and predictions.
Woo!
And there's already been some reactions in the room, and I assume that's not to the bagels. I hope you're not allergic. So let's go around the room. We have some returning snarkers and also a brand new guest here. Let's start to my left, the one and only Chris, the McGann. McGann is with us today.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Yep.
Hey, we're shaking.
An actual working Hollywood actor. Besides seeing that annoying Geico commercial, what else can we see you in right now, Chris?
It was Carfax.
And, oh, I'm sorry.
let's be real.
Okay, same thing.
I've got about four other commercials coming. Coming out.
Nice.
This year's starting off strong. I just booked and shot three this week.
All right. And how many how many of them do you play a lumberjack?
Because basically all of them.
I haven't,
lumberjacks and leprechauns.
I haven't
is all
seen
I do
Chris in a bit, and this is an all new look.
Yeah,
so
this has been growing since April.
This is throwing a new axe throwing business,
yeah.
And I think you would be great as our lead.
He's got the new Mike
that's
Posner.
Part of where
look.
I'm going, right? Is like axe throwing business this year. But I got to tell you before we even get started, I'm already outclassed. I thought we were just talking about people we knew named Oscar.
Oh.
So I made a list of all of my friends,
and that's like how many?
Like three.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. That's more Oscars than I know.
Yeah.
Also welcoming for the first time from Fox TV, based in Kansas City, the one, the only Sean Edwards, everybody.
Woo! What's going on, man?
Yeah.
Hopefully my addition is like bacon, because bacon makes everything better.
Oh, true. Yeah. True. All right. Can you smell what Sean is cooking? I don't know what I'm doing.
Hickory smoked bacon.
And also from, what's the name of that show? Hot Butter? Buttered Popcorn?
Extra Butter
Extra
TV. In 168 countries and territories worldwide.
It is the great Mark S. Allen, everybody.
Woo! Yeah. I hope my edition is kind of like a schmear, because everybody likes saying schmear.
I know. It's fun to say schmear. All right. I hope that everybody, please use the waters to rinse the schmear out of your mouth, because podcast listeners hate hearing nummy noises. So here we are. This is an Oscars podcast. Already Sean has expressed such difficulty and distaste with some of them, but I'm going to go category by category, and we'll start, much like the broadcast will, with one of the supporting actor categories. In fact, let's go to Best Supporting Actor, because to me,
oh, you started with the easiest one.
No kidding.
No, I don't think that's the easiest one.
Yeah, it is.
Because it's Mr. Ali, is it not?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why it's the easiest one.
Yeah.
Got it. In the can.
Okay, so we have no... So, well, Sean, tell me more. I mean, it's part of that because, I mean, obviously, to me, that's the best performance in that category, but shouldn't he also have been in the best actor category? Is there any reason why?
Yeah, I mean, you know, just, category
is it because
fraud.
Because he's in the back seat? Come on.
No, category fraud is pretty typical with the Academy Awards. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like splitting hairs. I mean, they weren't going to give both Viggo and Mahershala lead.
Yeah.
So I don't know if the powers that be at the studio that released the movie flipped a coin. I don't know if they had a backroom discussion, but Viggo became the lead, Mahershala became supporting, and Mahershala's going to win by a mile. The other four are just, they're good performances, but none of them are great.
Yeah.
And I had a problem. I mean, I understand, you know, people loved Adam Driver and Black Klansman, but it was really weird that he got nominated, but not John David Washington, who actually carried the movie.
True.
Like Adam Driver was good, but he did nothing remarkable in that movie. Like, there's not one standout scene. I don't even know what clip the Oscars are going to use when they call his name from that movie.
Yeah.
Because what was the memorable scene that he had in that movie?
Yeah, you're right. I mean, it's great that movie got attention.
And
but...
I love the movie.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're going to nominate Adam Driver, John David Washington should have got nominated. I'm not saying that Adam shouldn't have been nominated, but they both should have. It's just weird that you have this movie called Black Klansman, but the only person that gets nominated is Adam Driver.
Wow. That speaks to the Academy.
Yeah. Same thing happened to Spike in 1989 with Do the Right Thing. You had all these incredible actors in Do the Right Thing, but the only person who got nominated was Danny Aiello.
Wow. Yeah. Okay.
I mean, you're talking about category fraud, like, year after year, but, like, pretty routinely, they just sort of throw candidates in there who they know aren't going to win because the Oscars seem to be an I'm sorry you didn't win last year, let's make it up to you this year award show at this point.
But what are they making up to Adam Driver?
Nothing yet, but they're prepping him to give him an award in a couple of years because he's
for Kylo Ren.
No, stop. I mean, yeah, obviously.
Right. I'll speak to the Sams very quickly. Uh-huh. Sam Elliott, Star is Born, great performance, but let's admit, the writing keeps him in his lanes. I mean, he's not doing anything.
He didn't have a memorable scene either in that movie.
Yeah.
He got punched in the face. That was pretty memorable.
Sam Rockwell, I loved his performance, but it was more of an SNL take on W.
It was cartoonish.
Very SNL. Yeah.
It was edging into Will Ferrell territory. I like Sam Rockwell. I liked that performance, but again, that's why I started with this category. Because it's you're right. It's obvious that
Mahershala.
This would be number two for him. No one would have predicted that 5 years ago.
Yeah,
this would be a second Oscar.
So that's a good
in a short amount of time.
All right. So this brings me to Best Supporting Actress, and to me, this is a slam dunk too. Because, and I'll go first here. If Regina King doesn't win in that category, I'm going to burn that motherfucker down. Right? I mean, somebody argue with me.
If she doesn't win, I'm not going to burn anything down.
I
liked her performance. I didn't necessarily love her performance. I was actually slightly disappointed with If Beale Street Could Talk because I was really looking forward to that movie. I mean, it's a beautiful movie. I love the story. It's based on a James Baldwin novel. Right. It just did not blow me away, though. Mm-hmm.
But I think she did. I mean, I spent so much time. Regina King in that movie can do more with a look or a glance than some people can do with brilliant dialogue. And
he's talking about me.
Yeah, that's right. Chris, real quick, glance at me like, let's see angry.
Okay, I'll see.
Oh, jeez. All right.
I got more sexy out of
it. I mean, it's the same thing for me. I'm only sexy when I'm angry.
Don't count Amy Adams out.
Nah, I don't know.
She never wins, but this could be the time. But I'm not necessarily going to count her out.
And that's my fear, right? That's what I'm saying. Like,
right.
She's not going to win because she deserves to win for this, but because she's had performances in the past that were win-worthy, and this is going to be her...
Don't
her,
be shocked if the winner is Amy Adams.
But what about the ladies of The Favorite, or are they just going to split the vote?
Yeah, I was going to say they're both strong, but if they even had a chance, they're getting half the vote.
Well, Emma and Rachel have also previously won as well, so there's really no need to go out of their way to reward them. You know, The Favorite was okay, and those performances were good, but I don't think either of those two arise to the top.
I
don't know how the lady from Roma got nominated. I could have filled that slot with about 20 other people.
Yeah, well, see, that's the thing. I really liked her, and I will get to this because I have a huge affection for that movie, but that was both a surprise and I agree with you, Sean.
Huge surprise.
I mean, we can talk later about maybe people who were left out. But to me, that one's also a slam dunk. Let's go into the best actor category.
Now, here we go. This is a good one.
All right. McGann, I want to start with you. Because to me, this is also pretty obvious because I think there is a front runner. Mm-hmm. And clearly, it's Willem Dafoe. So, what the fuck? Where did that come from?
Right?
He's great in that movie, though. He's great in that movie.
We're the only people that saw it.
Sean and Mark here
attend movie junkets. Right. They are basically, their job is to go to everything. So this did have a junket. This did get released.
No, this did not have a junket, but I saw the movie. And he's really, really...
Okay, tell us what this movie is, because I don't know anybody knows.
It's a very good approach at the final days in the life and times of Vincent van Gogh, and it is so well done. It's a beautiful film. It captured it almost the way Vincent van Gogh captured it. They were so proud of this movie that his publicist, like, besieged the Aquaman junket. I don't know if you were a part of this, but she pulled me aside and said, hey, we know why you're here. Aquaman speaks for itself. but you should really be talking to him about that movie. And I said, I saw that. I just got the screener in last week. It is very good.
Yeah.
And so it pretty much dominated my discussion. He's very proud of that performance, as he should be.
Yeah. By the way, Aquaman speaks for itself. What is Aquaman saying?
It does speak for itself.
All right. Well, okay.
Aquaman did shut me up because I thought that movie would not perform very well. That thing's a hit.
Yeah.
It's legitimate hit.
I don't understand why, but
I don't either, but it's a hit.
All right.
I mean, we're not talking nerd stuff.
Okay, we'll get around to nerd stuff.
It's a hit.
We got Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse coming up.
Best movie of the year.
All right. So, good. You're tipping your hand, Sean. Hold on.
I'm just saying, man. When I hear that, I'm like, it should have been nominated for Best Picture.
Yeah. Mark, who wins Best Actor?
Should be, I think, Bradley Cooper, Star Is Born.
Really?
But I think that it could be Rami Malek for Bohemian Rhapsody.
Wow.
That's my gut.
Now, there is a populist push for Rami in that movie, I think, after the Golden Globes. And it
before that, people...
There's a lot of affection for
real
that.
Real people love Bohemian Rhapsody. I know a lot of critics did not.
People,
I've never met a real person that saw that movie that said they did not love it.
I didn't love it.
But you're in the industry. I'm talking about postal workers, school teachers,
farmers.
Whoever. Just like
I am a nobody disc jockey.
But
Sean,
you didn't open. But you didn't open.
I'm as real as they
get. You didn't have to go into your wallet, pull out your credit card at a multiplex, and pay for a ticket. People who did that, they love Bohemian Rhapsody.
I don't know what connections you think I have.
I'm just saying.
Mr. Big Shot.
Yeah, right. I'm in the real world. See a movie like real people.
I used my movie pass to get into second act, and I snuck into Bohemian Rhapsody.
Wait, didn't your best friend write and direct second act?
He doesn't listen to this. McGann, best actor.
He's got competition. Well,
see, because I think it's Christian Bale.
I think it is too.
It's perfect for the Academy to award that performance, and I don't think that it's not deserving. It's the only thing about that movie I really like.
Yeah, but you're not going to... I'm gonna play devil's advocate. You're not going to have a night where there are nothing but repeat winners. I just can't see.
Into the politics
it's
going to
be that.
Well,
it's going to be that
because it's already...
Even when the performance is that good?
It's already going to be the Alfonso Cuarón show. Mahershala Ali is going to win again. Yeah. You never know. Emma Stone may pop up. You just can't... You can't have all repeat winners all night.
So what do you think, Sean?
I say Rami Malek.
Really? Okay.
I don't know. I don't think Rami Malek will play.
You could have this situation where a couple years ago, it was Jack Nicholson versus Daniel Day-Lewis, and those were the two biggest megawatt performances of the year.
Yeah.
And when they opened the envelope, it said Adrian Brody.
Yeah. They split the vote.
Oh my gosh!
I forgot about that.
Finish your thoughts,
Chris. Bradley Cooper.
No, I'm with you. I think Christian Bale's going to get it. I think it's that same thing for when Charlize Theron won because of Monster. Right? It was a solid performance.
Yeah,
the makeup did a lot of the thing because it made her like this
new
character. And I think. I don't know. I can see it being a Christian Bale thing.
It is. I mean, I think it got enough attention from a popular standpoint, and also think in terms of who the Academy is, which is. You know, it's just a bunch of people in the industry, and I think that the Academy audience is less of that populist, real people audience that you're talking about.
I know, but there's a large percentage of members who are British.
In the Academy?
Yes. There are more Brits that are members of the Academy than you think. I'm not saying it's like...
Rami Malek's from the Valley.
God, they're taking
but
over.
But the movie's about Queen, man.
Right. Well,
I'm telling you, that's the...
All right. We are clearly separated here. The two... professional experts.
I don't know. We'll see.
The well-dressed folks versus us schlubs.
By the way, Rami Malek went to Notre Dame High School, same high school as my kid, and he gave a shout-out in a recent interview to the...
Oh, that's dope.
To the drama teacher, Judy Weldon, who taught both of them and said she was a brilliant high school drama director. So I have a lot of affection for Rami, but he's not going to win.
All right. We'll see about that.
Best actress. Now, this one, I think... let me go first on this one.
No.
I think they're going to give it to Olivia Colman.
Really?
I think
Lady Gaga's got it.
See, I think Lady Gaga and also Glenn Close has been getting a lot of attention for that performance, and I don't think Melissa or Yalitza have the juice to get what?
Lady
what,
Gaga's
Sean?
Not winning two Oscars in the same night.
What? People do that, Sean.
People do that.
People do that.
You don't think it's going to happen?
Not Lady Gaga.
This is the top
of the music will be the award.
Yes.
But those are two completely separate categories.
She's not winning. It doesn't matter. She does, because then that drives the narrative of the night. If she wins two Oscars in one night, that's the headline.
Well, but they don't care about that.
Yes,
they want that. They want the headline.
No, they want her at the show. They want her on the red carpet.
This year they want some good headlines. The Oscars had a couple of years of some really rough, negative headlines, and so maybe this year it is a more political thing. However, like I mean if the Academy votes are like truly the people that are seeing these things are voting on them, and the producers don't get to override votes and be like, even though she won by a landslide vote-wise, we're going to change this and say so-and-so won.
I know you're dressed for the conspiracy theory part.
That's right. I'm going to go live in my van after this.
By the way, we're going to take a picture and post this on my Instagram, and so that you can see how insane McGann looks today compared to the rest of us.
What? Can I just say,
is that a bulletproof vest?
Yeah, it's a bulletproof vest. This is the first time I've ever worn a vest, and I was spending all morning trying to decide if I was a vest guy. That's part of why I was.
It's actually kind of nice looking. Yeah, you're cool.
I think you look very nice.
Thank you, guys. Yeah. Thank you.
Well, I'm so happy you dressed for the podcast.
Yes, and I think Glenn Close would agree with me because she's winning Best Actress.
Glenn, okay, so you're in the Glenn Close camp. What? Mark, you too?
Well, she's getting an award for Fatal Attraction.
I do think she's going to win.
Wait, what?
back up. What? What did I just miss?
No, all right, I'm turning Sean's mic off for a second. What, Mark? What?
I think she will win, too. I don't think she deserves to win. Yes. I don't think that it had the range
so
that
this
deserves.
Is a career award.
Yep.
Okay,
yes.
I kind of buy that, right? I mean, the performance is supposed to be great. This is one of the movies I have not seen.
It's not bad.
Okay, but I don't think there's tremendous heavy lifting in this role at all. Like, you do not see the arc in this role that usually warrants a Best Actress award.
Okay.
I'd love to see Gaga win, but I remember, like, in the late 90s having the same argument about Madonna, saying, the Academy is finally starting to get younger, and they're looking for pop culture, and Madonna's going to win. And she came nowhere near that award. I think that's going to happen again for Gaga.
Actual best performance in this category is Olivia Colman.
I think this is one, maybe if Christian Bale doesn't win, Olivia Colman might win because it is such a solid and a special performance.
I just can't have Olivia Colman win because I already went on record saying that the favorite's going 0-10.
That's fair. That's pride on the line.
Well, here's the thing, Sean. Here's one thing you haven't thought about for this category. A lot of the Academy members are British.
They are. That's why there's a large percentage of British Academy members.
I know.
That's why when the BAFTAs are announced, gives whoever wins the BAFTA a slight edge.
Well, if there's Brits in the Academy, they're much more likely to give a Brit the award than Rami Malek from the Valley in Los Angeles.
I'm just scared that Olivia may win, because I already predicted that the favorite's going 0-10.
Has anybody said who they want to win? Because I want Olivia Colman to win.
She deserves it.
Did you say Lady Gaga?
Mark? I'm split between Olivia and Lady Gaga, but Olivia definitely deserves it. I mean, when you talk about the range and the sustained emotion that's in that movie from her character, definitely.
Yeah.
And all she did for the bunnies, too.
I want the girl from Roma to win, so 99.9% of all people watching are completely confused.
Yeah. You like that. Like when Arcade Fire won the Grammy and everybody was like, who the hell's Arcade Fire?
Like, who's this new Kanye West crashing the stage? Yeah. Oh, she's the person who won.
Yeah. I mean, it would be kind of delightful if she did. All right. Well, shall we go right to the...
I wouldn't just say, we didn't talk about her at all, but I'd really love to see Melissa McCarthy win. I really enjoyed is the wrong word, but like was really moved by Can You Forgive Me?
It was a good movie, but she doesn't have a chance.
Like, I know she doesn't have a chance.
It's the best thing she's ever done, but you're right. If there's besides Yalitza, if there's that's great that happened kind of moment, it would be good for her. I do not think there's a chance.
I mean, no, I'm with you. Like, I'd maybe eat this vest if she won.
The sad thing about this, though, if Melissa McCarthy had the type of career she's had and then did this type of movie and were a man, she'd be the front runner.
Yep.
Yeah, right? You're right. Oh, wow. That's interesting. True. Interesting. I'm so glad that we had some female empowerment in this room of nothing but such a sausage fest here.
And we're not even talking about comic books.
Actually, this is actually a representation of the best director category.
It actually is. We have one more person here that would match exactly.
Yeah. Let's go over best director real quick before we get to the big monster category.
All right.
Where is it on this sheet? I don't. Oh, it's right there next to best picture.
Yep.
It's pretty much a lock for Roma, Alfonso Cuarón.
It's not.
No?
It's not.
No?
Okay. It's not.
Okay. Bring it, Sean.
Well, all right.
Cold War with I had to
look up Cold War because I had no idea what it was.
I've seen ads for it on my Instagram
actually
feed.
Cold War is the best black and white movie with subtitles released this year.
Oh, stop it. You're talking
it's better than Roma. It's better than Roma.
Okay, I haven't seen it, but I'm a Roma guy.
Trust me, it's better than Roma. But no,
God, I'm so sorry. No. Why did you bring him, Mark?
Because he knows shit.
Alfonso Cuarón is he's close to a lock. But if there's going to be a big surprise, it's Spike Lee.
Yeah.
Because, Spike Lee.
Because
the
Academy boxed themselves in a corner. Because a couple years ago, they gave him an Oscar, a Lifetime Achievement Honorary Oscar.
Yeah.
So
because they've been ignoring him for
so long.
Right, because
they've been ignoring him. So how do you give someone an honorary Oscar, then when he actually has a film that's worthy and you nominate him, you ignore him again?
Yeah.
because it's the Academy.
I know.
Right? Because that's what they do.
They box themselves in. I mean, Alfonso Cuarón's already won. I mean, so if there's ever a time to do the Lifetime Achievement thing.
Yeah. He's probably going to go up for Best Picture, I'm thinking, too. So.
Well, yeah, because... Yeah,
I mean, we'll get to that. But, Mark, do you have a prediction for director at all? I mean, or who would you like to see?
I think it's going to be Alfonso.
Okay. Oh,
now, do we feel like Bradley Cooper was snubbed in this category?
Yes. Yes, because he was snubbed just if you know the Academy and their history with famous actors who become directors.
Right.
Like, you know. Mel Gibson got directed.
Yeah.
Robert Redford got directed.
Well, right. If Kevin Costner can win director, surely Bradley Cooper should have at least been nominated.
Right.
Well,
right.
I'd be happy to trade Bradley out for Adam McKay.
I agree.
I think Vice is the weakest of some of these movies, as much as I like Christian Bale. I did not go Gaga.
But there was also no excuse for them not to nominate at least one woman. There were at least 10 movies released.
Tell me.
That were direct. I mean, there's so many. I mean, it's so many.
Right. Leave No Trace.
Leave No Trace. Private Life.
Right.
I mean, there's like The Rider. Yeah. There's like so many great movies directed by women that were really, really good and well directed.
Yeah.
That were better than Vice. Mm-hmm. I mean, I get the Cold War and Roma thing. I would, you know, the Favorite. Favorite was more flashy than well directed.
Right.
Well, Yorgos is his own thing.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
So, all right, let's get to Best Picture. Now, and one of the reasons, of course, that they, you know, Bradley Cooper was left out is because they don't represent all of the Best Picture nominees in the other categories.
Because mathematically it's impossible.
Right. Yeah, they only allow five members in the Best Director Club, and Best Picture they expanded a few years ago, and this year we've got eight. And they are Black Panther, Black Klansman, Black Bohemian Rhapsody. The Favorite, Green Book, Roma, A Star Is Born, and Vice. Now, I'll go first because I think it's Roma, and I think Roma deserves it. The end. And having said that, I'll give you. If I don't think it's Bohemian Rhapsody. I don't think that's going to get a Best.
Bohemian Rhapsody shouldn't even be nominated. Okay. But I like the movie a lot. But
and here's what I think. If all was right with the world, and I want to go to you, McGann, first.
Oh, Lord.
If Black Panther won, that would make me really happy. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you why. It's a huge hit worldwide. It was roundly considered one of the best movies, you know, critic-wise. It was practically critic-proof.
It has the highest Rotten Tomatoes score out of all eight movies. And that's what people worship.
And everything about it is good in quality. And it also is kind of breaking ground as the first technically the first comic book movie to get any kind of Best Picture play.
Yeah.
As the comic book full-on nerd in the room, Chris McGann, does it stand a chance and does it deserve it?
Does it stand a chance? No.
Really?
I really don't think so. I think that Black Panther is in here as kind of a remnant of the Oscars' disastrous move to have that popular movie category.
Yeah.
Most popular? What was
the
number?
That's right. They were talking about most popular movie of the year and sounding like the People's Choice Awards for a second.
Which, and I think that's part of why Black Panther is slid into this category. It was a remnant from their attempt to be hip and cool. And even though I think that in a lot of ways it's the most fun movie in here, I think it's the most, because it was, a summer blockbuster. Summer blockbuster?
It was a summer blockbuster released in February.
Right. had some strong character-driven performances, had some amazing special effects, was well shot, was well put together, stood on its own and tied to a larger universe.
Is it too much of a popcorn movie to
win an award?
Yeah.
Doubly so because there's not a single performance nominated. There's not a single technical effect nominated in any of these other categories. It stands alone as a Best Picture nom with no Best Actors, no Best Directors, no Best Special Effects, no Best Makeup, no nothing.
Yeah. So who's winning? All right, we'll get back to you. Sean, who's winning?
Well, see, the criteria of Best Picture for me, the winner of Best Picture should be not only the most creative and the best technically, pulled off movie, but it also should be a movie that said something about our times, that sort of took culture in a new direction. Something that's going to be memorable. No matter what happens, the only movie out of the eight that people will be talking about 5, 10, 15, 20 years from now will be Black Panther. No one's going to remember Roma and maybe Black Klansman a little bit. Bohemian Rhapsody is going to fade. People don't even know about The Favorite now. The Green Book's going to fade. No one's even seen Roma. A Star is Born is just going to be what it is. And Vice, no one's going to care. But 20, 25, when, as history becomes the story, Black Panther's going to be the one that's remembered. Black Panther also, the way it shook up culture and the way it was had this multi-generational appeal, it makes it in a fair world, it should be the Best Picture winner. Mm-hmm. And it was a great movie, and it should have had 12 Oscar nominations. If Titanic could get that many, come on. The biggest insult of all the nominations was the fact that Black Panther didn't get nominated for hair and makeup. Those people in that movie don't look like that every day, which is what I think people thought. Their faces, their hair does not. That was the most incredible hair and makeup job in the past 25 years.
Yeah.
I mean, everything cool about makeup doesn't have to be transforming somebody from skinny to fat or making someone look like an alien or a monster.
I also would have been super happy to pull Adam Driver out of Best Supporting Actor and put Michael B. Jordan in there.
Michael B. Jordan's performance.
Yeah.
And for all the work he's done, even in a bad Rocky movie, Chadwick Boseman, nothing against him, but that was a very stoic performance.
And
Michael
the
B.
cinematography
Jordan was amazing.
How did they not nominate Rachel Morrison for cinematography?
Right?
Then you could have got a woman.
That wasn't easy to shoot that movie. No, that was a beautiful.
Then they gave visual effects to Infinity War, but not Black Panther. They look exactly the same.
It's probably the same guys.
Where was Leticia in Best Supporting Actress?
Right,
sure, she stole that damn movie, right?
Yeah,
and that's the part
movie.
That kills me. That's why this feels like such a like a pity nomination.
Right,
as much
right.
as I because like,
she could have easily been in Best Supporting Actress. I mean, she was far more engaging than the woman that was nominated for Roma. Come on,
right?
What wins?
I'm going to have to continue the charge for Black Panther. Black Panther should win, and it's a travesty that there aren't acting nominations for this movie. And it is a comic book movie, but to call it just a comic book movie would be like calling Titanic a movie about luxury travel.
Yeah.
it's so much more than that. And Ryan Coogler was robbed.
Absolutely.
Here's a guy who took basically a comic book movie that easily could have been a disposable Marvel movie and represented what it should be,
a juggernaut for
our culture, brought some of the best performances of the year in a comic book movie, for that sake.
Yeah.
And I think, we always speak to the aging Academy members, and I'd like to, with no offense if you are a member, because I'll be a member of the Academy this coming year.
Yay.
With no offense.
An aging member, in fact.
Exactly. I'm coming in ancient. But there's there's a level of ignorance, and I think the reason it doesn't get hair and makeup, the same reason that Andy Serkis never gets an acting nomination, the reason hair and makeup didn't get it is because, oh, that's just done with computers anyway, so that shouldn't deserve it.
Well, look, I mean, Sean is right. The fact that this is a movie that's going to transcend, it's basically award-proof. It doesn't make critic-proof.
That's true.
And it's gonna last forever because it's part of a zeitgeist that will be remembered. And also, it was a big, powerful moment. Mm-hmm. I mean, I sat in the theater, and we talked about this on our Black Panther episode of this podcast. Yeah. As a middle-aged white male, I sat in the theater at the end of that movie, and I was moved about what it did and how powerful it was and how important it was. And I saw the people around me be so affected by it.
Yeah, people were walking out of the movie theater crying.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, and it was a moving, really powerful
and
experience.
Chris will understand this because he's from the comic book world. For a movie that actually got black people to dress up and go and see it,
yeah,
that's the most incredible thing ever.
Yeah.
You have black people dressing up to go to a movie.
I know. It was crazy.
Like, and you also had black people. There was this was the best story about Black Panther. There was actually, and I don't know if it's urban legend, but it's kind of true, but there was a code on the street. Like, if you went to the barbershop, that's usually where you buy bootleg copies of movies.
Right.
Like, there was a code on the street that no one was allowed to bootleg Black Panther.
That's awesome.
People were like, no, I'm not buying a copy of Black Panther.
Wow.
I'm going to the movies to actually go see it.
Yeah.
Which is why it made so much money.
One of my favorite viral things was a video that somebody shot when that giant full-size poster was in theaters. And but you know, when the trailer was just coming out, and it was a classic giant movie poster with all the faces, and there were a couple of guys standing around, African-American gentlemen, and one of them was screaming, "Is this what white people feel like all the time?"
Yes.
Is this what? And he was going up, and he was hugging the poster and kissing the people.
I mean, I'm just saying,
and
it's crazy.
It was funny, but it was also like really powerful. It's like, oh shit, yeah.
But when you go to the Wikipedia Oscar page and you see the 2019 winner for Best Picture, it'd be Roma.
Yeah. Well, let me be a Roma defender here for a second, because I think there's also something important about Roma too, because
it is
a foreign language film. It is a Spanish language film. It is a representational film, because if you think about generally what do we as American audiences see Mexico represented as,
it's usually
poverty and drug running and border issues. Mm-hmm. And this was a really personal, intimate story that did two things for me. One, I hadn't even thought about indigenous peoples of Mexico. And here is this completely different language that's being spoken and how those people are part of the service industry in that country. Mm-hmm. And also, I didn't know anything about the Roma section of Mexico City. That was an education, that actually exists, that there's this kind of European thing. And then the emotional power of it. And I disagree. One point with you, Sean, is that I do think people will be talking about this movie. I honestly believe this movie will transcend this Oscar season, because I think it's going to be studied a bit. I think that people are going to watch. I will say this about Alfonso Cuarón, too. Thank God we have an artist like him in the world who, if you look at the list of movies he's made, when his least interesting movie is his biggest box office hit, and that's Gravity.
That's
like his worst movie, and you can talk about going back to The Little Princess and Y Tu Mama Tambien and the best Harry Potter movie, arguably.
No, 100% the best Harry Potter movie.
I mean, here's an artist who's doing like really good stuff and took his Gravity money and made this incredibly personal and beautifully shot and composed film. And this is a movie where I sat there and just kind of let this thing wash over me, much like the opening image of the water being washed. Okay, so
I give you.
It had so much emotional power.
I give you all of that.
So I only nitpick
correct.
Your argument.
No, it's not. It's fine.
I think people will be talking about this longer than just this season.
But I give you all of that. It's still not the best picture of 2018.
Right. Well, I've known Larry. How long have I known you? I can tell you why he leans into Roma so much. It's because you've got 3.5 minutes of unbridled male junk in your face.
Oh, wow.
In one of the scenes.
Is that it? No. It's because we had a character like Professor Zorek or whoever that dude was, because I love that guy.
He sounds like a comic book villain. Tell me more.
I need somebody to speak up on behalf of Green Book, though. I don't think Green Book's completely out of the running for winning Best Picture.
Do you think it took a dent
when they started talking about the factual correctness or the legitimacy?
No, I think there's been enough time with the backlash because Academy voters are still voting right now. I don't think they've turned in their ballots
yet. Not until the end of the month.
I think they recognize where the issues are with that movie.
Well, can Black Klansmen win, since most people who vote tend to lean toward hating Trump?
I don't think Black Klansmen can win because of that. And I don't think it's the best movie.
No, I didn't. No, it's not. It's not the best movie. I know
the best movie sometimes has nothing to do with what.
No, Black Klansmen. No, Black Klansmen is not the best movie. It's the most daring movie on here.
Yeah.
Like, Black Klansman's the most daring, the favorites,
the most
bizarre.
Well, that's why I think if Spike Lee won in the Best Director category, I think that would be a victory for that movie. Let's go around the room and let's talk about the things. I know we've kind of touched on it, but if you could change anything in any category. and for me, I'll go into the weeds a little bit into the screenplay category, because that's usually one where you can represent maybe a smaller independent film. As an example, The Big Sick. Which deserved some attention, but wasn't maybe as impactful enough to kind of get into some of the other categories. But because it was so good and so well done, that was a great place. And I am bummed.
Wait, wasn't The Big Sick in a bunch of 2018 stuff? Is that what you're just?
I'm saying
historical.
It did get an Oscar nomination for its screen.
Rightfully so.
And
it should have had a Best Picture.
I feel like this year it could have been Bo Burnham's Eighth Grade. That screenplay,
how that did not get nominated, it's just,
such a powerful movie, and I think it would have been perfect to give a Best Original Screenplay in place of virtually any of those in there.
Oh, easily.
Sure.
And I'll also mention real fast that I thought Ethan Hawke had a little bit of groundswell going for his performance in First Reformed, and kind of bummed he didn't get recognized. But those are the two that I would come up
with. Willem Dafoe got his slot.
Yep.
Yeah, there you go.
That was the slide.
Mark, what about you? What would you change in these categories if there's somebody that was left out? I guess this would be called the snubs section of the podcast.
I've tried to stay away from the obvious in this discussion, but we all agree Happy Time Murders. How is that shut up?
Jesus. No,
it should have just been Melissa McCarthy versus Melissa McCarthy for Best Actress.
It's going to sweep the Razzies, so it's going to be okay.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
She got actually nominated for two movies at the Razzies. In the same year, she got an Oscar nomination. Happy Time Murders and Life of the Party.
So, I got nominated for a Razzie.
Chris McGann got nominated for a Razzie.
Well, I was part of the ensemble of Battleship. We got nominated for Worst Ensemble. And the only reason we didn't win is because one of the Twilight movies came out that year.
Sean, do you remember? Sean was on the set of Battleship. Do you remember him?
Yeah. A couple times, yeah.
We'll talk afterwards. We'll touch base.
Let's change the whole direction of the podcast and just talk about Battleship for another hour.
That's what the Oscars is really all about.
Anything serious, Mark, or are you just being Jolly Joker?
No, nothing that we haven't explored already.
What's the biggest snub, you think? Is it Bradley Cooper, director?
I think Bradley Cooper, director. That was a solid effort. And again, I just go back. If Kevin Costner could win for Best Director, certainly Bradley Cooper deserved a nomination.
And by the way, wasn't there a time where A Star is Born sounded like the slam dunk to win all the awards?
But that was back when... That was before Halloween.
Did they peak too early? Is that the problem?
Yeah. That was before Halloween and Thanksgiving.
I've noticed that a trend. Whatever seems to be the front runner about the time the Toronto International Film Festival hits typically doesn't go the
distance. It's lost its steam. Sean, what's your biggest, what would you change if you could?
There were a couple of movies that just flat out got ignored that I definitely would like to talk about. One would be Blindspotting. When you mentioned the screenplay category, I thought that's where you would see a movie like Blindspotting pop up, or maybe Sorry to Bother You.
That was the other one. Could have easily been a screenplay nomination
for Best Actress. I would have easily taken the lady from Roma off and put Amanda Steinberg in for The Hate U Give. It was one of the more amazing performances I saw last year. She carried that movie. It was a very difficult role. She pulled it off. just totally, those three movies just totally got ignored. And like I said, there were five nominations left on the table for Black Panther, but the biggest snub would have been Best Cinematography. Because that cinematography was incredible. I mean, that first shot when you first see Wakanda was one of those moments, like the first time you saw Keanu Reeves do that thing in The Matrix.
For me, it's that scene where
the spaceships in Star Wars. One of those moments.
For me, it's that scene where the panther is in the tree. And,
oh my god!
Just for that scene alone, give her the award.
Or at least get her nominated. I mean, she's not even nominated. Nominated.
Every frame is art.
Chris, what about you?
I mean, we talked about Sorry to Bother You. We talked about Black Panther pretty extensively. I didn't love Hereditary as a movie, but like as a screenplay, I thought it was really great.
Yeah.
And I would have loved to have seen like Ewan McGregor as like a, I don't know, best lead, maybe best supporting for Christopher Robin, because it touched me in my feels. Paddington 2 was such a charming and delightful movie.
And really well done. 100%
Rotten Tomatoes. I don't know where it would have slotted in here, but the fact that, like no visual effects, no nothing is in there just makes me...
Maybe it's just too pleasant.
I thought maybe you were going to say Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse could have easily been a Best Picture nominee.
I forgot about that. Yes. Yeah. I'd like to reiterate something Sean brought up at the very beginning. That could have and should have been easily a Best Picture. 8? Surely we could have had 9.
Right.
You can have 9, by the way. They've had 10 in the past.
Oh, no, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Why not? How
best
did it not make
year.
It? It's the best movie of the year. I agree. It's the best. I think it's maybe my favorite Spider-Man ever made. And
yes,
I loved Holland and Homecoming. And I love the original Tobey Maguire. But, it was fantastic. It was well-written. It was creative. The voice casting was fantastic. There were so many things about Into the Spider-Verse that would have made it a best picture.
Here he goes.
I know you guys do this professionally, I got to be perfectly honest. Award season doesn't do anything for me.
Yeah. It's doing less and less for most people.
Right. It's not doing anything for a lot of people.
Over the years, even in the last 10 years, I'm always like, I don't care. Most of the movies that get nominated for Best Picture, I find incredibly boring and dull story-wise. There's some great performances in there, but even the people who get nominated for Best Actor, Best Supporting Actor, so many people are left out. They seem like, again, give me awards for previous years, chances to make things up for people who've been snubbed year after year after year. And it doesn't feel like it matters. It's not looking at what happened this year. Mm-hmm. It's not looking at the people who deserved it this year. We're not taking into account the things that have come out about movies and actors and whatever that's been released that were this person's a bad person, we shouldn't be awarding their ability to act. Every year I find myself going, whatever, these guys. And I feel no different this year.
I wish
the Academy as a body could learn a lesson, and I don't know what it's going to take for them to look at the way they do things, look at themselves. And I get that there's so many people in the Academy that are so busy, and that's why they're in the Academy, that they don't have time to
really view everything as a whole. Yeah.
Well, if you want to feel better about life, I recommend the documentary "Would You Be My Neighbor," which got super snubbed. That was the documentary everybody thought was the slam dunk. That I think people that voted thought, I'm gonna vote for something else because I know this is gonna get a lot of votes.
Yeah,
and then it got left off.
Well, that's happened a lot in the documentary category, where a documentary gets really popular and they either reject it or they have that thinking. Well, I understand what you're saying, Chris, which makes me want to erase this entire podcast because I don't understand why. I will say this. Several of the movies we talked about, not the big blockbusters, big studio ones, but several of the movies we talked about today that deserve some recognition will get recognition the night before at the Independent Spirit Awards, which for my money has become more of the awards show to watch.
Mm-hmm. It's a better show.
It
represents the universe well.
It does leave out a lot of clearly the big budget, kind of blockbusters that we're talking about, or even, any of the big studio movies. But it's usually much more entertaining and much less icky and a lot more irreverent. And they hold it in a freaking warehouse on the beach in Santa Monica.
Are you going?
No.
If you stay late enough at the Independent Spirit Awards, does it just turn into Day Tripper?
I don't know if I get that reference.
Day Tripper's that morning rave where you use the silent.
Okay, I'm too old. Yeah.
Into the Spider-Verse animated feature. At least we'll get that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. All right. Well, gentlemen, let's wrap this up because I think we've beat this horse to death. But thank you for the discussion. This was quite lively and enjoyable and ended on a downbeat note with basically Chris McGann completely destroying all my cinema dreams.
I'm just sorry for my role as Paul Revere. That I announced that the British are coming.
Yeah. Somebody needs to.
You've cracked this case wide open. This
is nothing else. That's what I'm going to remember. I had no idea.
I demand an investigation. They're already taking all. They're taking all of our movie roles. Now they want our awards too.
Yeah. Why are they so good at talking English better than we is?
I don't know.
The Brit that I trust the least is that Rami Malek. The fact that they planted him in the valley, thinking we wouldn't notice.
Chris McGann, where can people find you and follow you if they want to?
The McGann on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Well, I guess not on Facebook. Twitter and Instagram.
Yeah, let's not follow you on
Twitter
Facebook.
And Instagram. And, you know, watch a commercial from time to time. I'm there.
If you ever wanted to do a one-man Kevin Smith tribute show.
Yeah. Wow.
Wow.
Thank you.
No, it's kind of, it's the vibe. It's the look you got going on for whatever commercial you're shooting right now.
I'll take it.
It's okay. He's lost a lot of weight.
Yeah,
so it's all right.
Like it's when Zach Galifianakis lost all the weight, and I was like, okay, I can take that now.
Sean Edwards, where can people find and follow you?
Yeah, you can find me at S. Edwards KC, K as in kitten, C as in cat, on everything, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, or you can just go to Fox 4 News, Kansas City on Facebook. It's all there.
Can I also, you know, just applaud him also because he's crossing over into the other side of the industry. Oh, yeah. He's producing feature films right now and has some great stuff under his belt.
Trying. Yeah, we got a big movie coming out on May 3rd called The Intruder, starring Dennis Quaid, Megan Good, and Michael Ealy. So
very cool. Yeah. Well, Mark S. Allen, you are doing the same.
He's doing the same.
You are actually venturing into the feature film world. And
I've got some stuff I'm excited about. A basketball comedy with Jerry O'Connell and then a very scary, creepy movie with Mina Savari and Kevin Pollak called Apparition.
Yeah, which is going to, you had a release date yet on Apparition?
Yeah, it's, okay. I don't know.
We'll plug that in.
Exactly. It's been picked up. We're excited. We're being distributed by Voltage, and they won Matthew McConaughey the Oscar for Dallas Buyers Club, so certainly our little movie will be okay.
Right. How do they find Mark S. Allen as seen on TV?
Just go to Facebook and find Extra Butter TV.
Mm-hmm.
And check your local listings.
What about your Twitter? Give your Twitter. The kids
at
love
TV
Twitter.
Mark S. Allen. Or just go to Chris Pratt's Instagram page right now.
Yes.
That actually was pretty cool.
Yeah, it's very cool.
It was very cool.
Yeah, Mark S. Allen apparently dating Chris Pratt's mom and had a connection there. That's very weird.
It's a lot. Call it dating if you will.
All right. Oh, well, whatever you might be thinking about the Oscars, enjoy making fun of it. It is coming up on Sunday, February 24th, 2019. Thanks, everybody. Thank you all.
Morgan, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, this is fun, Morgan. Man. This is fun, man.
Get a monkey, everybody.
Get a monkey.
Get a monkey!
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.